All right, guys, another game, another week for Ohio State. This is a primetime kickoff. Why? In Columbus, it is at 7:30 kick. Western Michigan coming to Columbus. And I think you and I just started to say off air, like, I think this is a nice little step up in competition from Akron. So if last week was the preseason, this feels more like a week one to me, a team you should beat, a team that you're favored by, I want to say, 38 points right now. Actually, FanDuel had it 37.5 this morning. So you should beat them, but if you mess around, you're going to find out real quick that there's some real talent on this Western Michigan team.
Well, yeah, and that, I mean, let's face it. They gave, I think, Wisconsin, I don't want to say a scare, but they definitely challenged them. I mean, they were only down 3 at the half. They were only down 6 after 3 quarters. So, and you're talking about a Wisconsin team that maybe is in a little bit of like a transitional period because, you know, Luke Fickell's there and he's still kind of getting his guys, you know, recruiting his own guys and building that roster and doing some nice things there. But like, yeah, like I think there's, I don't want to say it's like a scare and that Ohio State fans should be worried, but this is definitely a team that's going to play you really tough. That is going to be a little bit, again, as you mentioned, a step up from Akron in terms of a MAC school. They have a chance to be really competitive in the MAC this year, maybe even win the MAC. I don't know that they're the best team in the MAC, but I think they're up there in that conversation. And yeah, I mean, I think they run the football very well. I think their quarterback is a guy who isn't necessarily, he's a senior transfer, and so he's got some experience. And I don't think he's going to be like flustered under the pressure of the bright lights of playing at Ohio State on a Saturday night. So yeah, like I agree with you. I think it's a step up from Akron, and it's a game that I think is going to further test Ohio State while still giving them the opportunity to probably still win comfortably.
Yeah, like it's funny, man. Like I think Western Michigan and the MAC's probably a 7 or 8 win team, but they have some really intriguing things. One, you mentioned Hayden Wolfe, who's a transfer from ODU. He's just kind of a steady Eddie at quarterback. Not necessarily the most special guy in the world, but a guy who, if left to his own devices, can certainly put some points on the board. You mentioned 14 points against the Wisconsin defense, but they got Buckley at running back. They've got some speed off the edges. And I think the strength of this team is the offensive line. And so I just think that's, you know, I think it's a nicer test. I think Joe Moorhead's scheme kept Akron in things early in that game and gave Akron some opportunities here. I think the talent can keep you in there because, like, Ohio State does have their defensive line is better than Western Michigan's O-line. But on the interior, Western Michigan's got 2 guys who I think have a chance to play on Sundays, whether that's as a draft pick or just have to play their way in as an undrafted free agent. So you've got experience up front. You've got experience in your backfield. You do have some playmaking. I think Ohio State's still going to be fine, but it goes back to the idea of in these first 4 weeks, Ohio State's biggest opponent is themselves and their own boredom or hubris. So this is a game that you should be able to keep these guys to less than 14 points or right around 14 points. But man, you just have to be very, very crisp. And like, you can't have the personal foul call that Ohio State had. I can't remember the safety that had it, but the hit on Ben Finley that knocked Ben Finley out of the game for a few minutes and brought Bullock in versus Akron. You can't have that in this game. You can't have a blown coverage with this kind of speed because they do have 1 or 2 guys that can't take it to the house, which is wild that we're saying that about Western Michigan. So, but I'll be honest with you. I think we naturally always go to how does their offense fare against our defense? I think the biggest tail of the tape in the game is it is your O-line versus their pass rush and their defense in general. They're replacing multiple starters up front on defense, including Marshawn Nealon, who's, I think, with the Cowboys now. I want to say Marshawn was a second-round pick this year. He was definitely a draft pick by the Cowboys. But so they're replacing their pass rush production. And last year, this team was dog bleep against the run. It was their Achilles heel. So if there is a team that specifically in the run
game, that bore itself out in the Wisconsin game. I mean, they gave 215 yards rushing too. So there's an opportunity there.
I think there's a precedence there to say the offensive line should look better on the ground. And I thought Quinshon Judkins got jobbed last week. I don't think he got any help. Travion's just a naturally a little bit more shifty. So yeah. Travion could kind of make hay. Quinshon needs better blocking up front if this tandem's going to be the 1-2 punch we think it is. So that's where I start. Like, all right, this is actually a worse defensive line than Akron had. It's probably the only place that Western Michigan is worse or lesser than Akron. I need to see the offensive line go out there and be some ass kickers and name takers, because like, this is it. This is the advantage. And this isn't. And here's the other thing. It's also just game two. Yeah. All right, let's see logical progression against a lesser opponent in the trenches on the offensive line side of things for Ohio State.
Well, and I think, too, we've heard a lot about what this offense is going to look like, what they're going to do to make Will Howard comfortable, and how they might lean on the run as their identity. And I've talked about this. There was a show I did, I think, one week when you were out, Nick, where I talked about, you know, the one thing that they should be able to fall back on is the fact that they have two amazing, like, you know, two of the top running backs in football on the same roster, and that when they really need a play, either of those guys should be able to make it for them. Yeah, you have Jeremiah Smith, you have others, but like to keep Will Howard kind of comfortable and take some pressure off of him, the fact that you have those two guys, I think, matters a lot. And to be able to sort of bank on them or rely on them in moments or key spots is good. And we've heard them say like they want to use the run game as a tool and a resource to set up the rest of the offense. So along those lines, like, this feels like the game where if the offensive line can dominate, you can get that run game going. We can see this thing like in its full iteration in terms of, okay, what's the balance between run and pass? How is the run game and how is some of the screen game or short yarded stuff an extension of the run game? How are they utilizing these guys? And what does that mean for Will Howard being able to kind of take a, not a back seat, but like take a deep breath and be able to not have to worry so much about doing everything himself. And so like, I think this creates a really good opportunity for that to kind of play out and happen, and for them to take steps with what they want their run game to do and be, and all those different things this season. And I will say, like you mentioned, yes, they have some new faces on the defensive line, Western Michigan, but like one of the things that really catches my attention about their roster is the fact, like you said, that they are very upperclassmen laden. I think that matters in college sports more than anything. I mean, even in like March Madness in college basketball, a lot of times like the Kentuckys of the world, when Coach Cal was there and he's recruiting all like the one and done kids, those teams are oftentimes losing in the tournament to teams that have like seniors and juniors on them. And I think the same thing applies in football, where it's like if you get a team of players that have been around and been with each other for several years, and they kind of know, they have chemistry, they understand the system, they understand what the coaches are asking them to do. I think that stuff plays itself out and bears itself out in games against even superior teams like Ohio State. So yeah, like their offensive line, they have a couple guys that transferred in, but they're a senior and a grad transfer, and then they got three, like they don't have a player on their offensive line that's not a senior. They have a lot of juniors and seniors across the offense in general. The only underclassman is Buckley, like you mentioned, their running back. And then the defensive side, like Corey Webb, their one defensive end is a freshman. But again, it's like a lot of juniors, a lot of senior transfers. There's some junior transfers in there. There's a grad transfer in there. So they really only have like two underclassmen in their top 22 guys, if you're including offense and defense, who are going to be, you know, consistent starters for them. And I think that matters in terms of obviously giving Ohio State a little bit of a bigger test as well, because these guys, you know, this isn't their first rodeo. They kind of know how to play together, and they have some experience playing against other good teams like we just saw last week in Wisconsin.
Well, and I think they have a lot of athleticism in the back seven, two solid linebackers, and really, like, they've got two standout corners and a safety. The kid's name is – I actually had to write this one down because the kid's the safety – Tate Halleck. So I don't know any of these – I don't know – I'll be honest with you. I don't know any of these dudes are true NFL players, like maybe I feel about the offensive linemen. But I do think they're just really good, experienced college football players. And so it does set up like – I mean, this sets up to probably the best thing they do is defend the pass – they have a good enough pass rush that if you do not respect them, they can get home. But the opportunity's there in the ground game. So, you know, it's one of those things where the most obvious course is, can we just run the ball down their throat and get them to submit? Because time of possession against a team like this, limiting opportunities for Hayden Wolf and Buckley and the young speed, you can kind of just suffocate them out. And I still think you can cover the spread. So,
yeah,
I think if it's going to be interesting to see, because we don't have a lot of frame of reference for Chip Kelly, it'll be interesting to see whether he leans into the obvious here, which is make them stop the run and then figure it out from there, or whether he still continues to say, you know, we're a pass first team and we'll accentuate the pass game with the run game. And again, there's my personal philosophy, which is when you're this talented, the more experience you can get on the ground, I think it's only gonna build confidence for your offensive line. So I think that's how I think of things. That's just a philosophical thing.
I think there's some truth to that, though. Like, I just think that's like I think that's an athlete mentality. Like, if you can build momentum, it's the same thing with, like, I keep using basketball references, but it's like you see the ball go in the hoop, and sometimes that's the thing that, like, triggers you to start shooting more, and you start knocking them down, and that gets you in rhythm. So I think it's the same sort of thing here. Like, if the offensive line can build some momentum from this game, get a forward push, help the run game really get going for the first time this season, I think that does kind of it spills over into the next week, right? It's a confidence booster that then hopefully means that this group can keep getting better and better as the season goes on.
Well, but I think you can beat them passing, and I think you can beat them running. And so,
well, I think you can beat them passing just based off of pure talent. Like, you just have the better wide receivers, probably the better quarterback, like, for sure. But I want this game to be like an experiment in a way where it's like, okay, I know that Ohio State has more talent, but can they, you know, I don't want to say grind it out, because that kind of almost makes it sound like the game's going to be close. But, like, can they win with the run game? Can they win being more physical? That is the thing, to the point of what we talked about in the first segment with the offensive line struggles this year that we're kind of anticipating. Like, I kind of want that. I kind of welcome that. Like, can they win that style? And can they do that in a game like this? Because that's the thing that we're still kind of – we have questions about, right? So we want to see that. Like, we know that they should beat Western Michigan 10 times out of 10 by double figures or more. But I kind of want to see them get tested a little bit, where they have to use that run game a little bit more. Because, again, I think that goes back to the physicality thing too. Being the team that can run the football better – the team that's run the football better in that Michigan matchup the last 3 years – or the last, I don't even know how many years, it's more than that, has won. And the last 3 years, Ohio State hasn't been able to do that. So I think all that stuff, like, it's little signs to me that this team's going to be different than the previous ones.
So I like the idea of, you know, the test scenario. I just think it'll be a fascinating window into which route Chip Kelly chooses to beat them. I do think we need to, when we start talking about these games, we do need to start talking. Ohio State's 0-1 against the spread. It's a 37.5 point line, thanks to our friends at FanDuel, as of this morning. Do you expect Western Michigan to have a chance to cover?
Yeah. I mean, I think because early season games are kind of fluky, like we saw last week. What'd you say? What is the spread?
37.5 points from FanDuel this morning.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance Western Michigan covers that. I do. I mean, they didn't cover this first week against Akron. And I think, you know, another week of momentum sort of under your belt, sure. But I just think Western Michigan's a better team, so they're going to keep it a little bit closer. I think they still win handily, but I'm going to say Western Michigan does cover the spread.
Yeah, this is kind of a sneaky game that you know, in gambling parlance, I would say stay away from, because on one hand, Ohio State should cover the spread comfortably. On the other hand, Western Michigan's no bitch, and if you look at where Ohio State is, I think they are using these first few weeks as an extension of the preseason, which means they're not trying to step on their throat and blow them out by 70 points. So I probably would stay away from this game in general. I still think Ohio State's going to cover, but man, I got to be honest with you. I'd be sitting there clenched for most of the game on Saturday. All right, guys. So we want to hear your thoughts on Western Michigan. Whether you think this is a tougher matchup, like I think both Spencer and I do, where do you see Western Michigan's ability to push Ohio State, and whether or not Ohio State will win this game by 38 or more points. But when we come back, it's time for the Michigan Panic Meter with a huge game for the Wolverines, that school up north. That's next, right here. But first, a quick word from our sponsor.